going to have you turn again to the book of Matthew, if you will, to the book of Matthew. And if you'll go ahead and go to chapter number 9. So Matthew 9, and we're going to read verses 27 to 31, a short little passage, but very, very, very good one. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence," and the thence is he has left Jairus' home, where he healed Jairus' daughter, who was dead, if you remember that story. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, 'Believe ye that I am able to do this?' They said unto him, 'Yea, Lord.' Then touched he their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, be it unto you.' And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straitly charged them, saying, 'See that no man know it.' But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Lord, we are very grateful for the time that we have together. We thank you for the work that you did on earth and the way that it teaches us about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to be. And we are studying your culture and the way that it affects our lives. And we pray that you'll impress that in us this evening. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. And y'all may be seated. Tonight I want to preach on this thought, a culture of willingness, a culture of willingness. There are many phrases that are kind of overused in our society, and one of them is, "It changed my life." So really, did that Apple Watch change your life? I mean, think about it. Julie, did that new phone of yours that you got about a year ago change your life? Not really, huh? How about that? Did that meal change your life? Because unless you choked to death on a chicken leg, it probably didn't change your life, right? You know, one meal, that there's not enough there. And there's a lot of things that people say change their life, but it didn't. And a lot of times people are talking about things, you know, physical things. But really, the what changes our life are the events that when we meet the Lord. And in our passage today, you have two men. Their lives got changed, didn't they? Their lives got changed, didn't they? I'm not wearing my hearing aids today, so you all need to speak up. And my ears might be a little bit plugged still from the cold. And you might say, yes, they gained their sight. And I realize that's important, but the Bible wouldn't call that the most important part of this. I believe that the most important part is when Jesus asked them the question in verse number 28, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." That's the most important part. And from that question, Jesus was able to change their lives by faith. Faith is what changed them here, and gaining their sight was actually secondary. Well, and I know it's important, but without faith, they wouldn't have been able to gain their sight, would they? And their lives were changed by faith. And ladies and gentlemen, if your life and my life are going to be changed, it's going to be by faith. But what their faith revealed was that willingness that I want to talk about tonight. They had a willingness to trust Christ, to follow Christ, and that willingness allowed them to be healed by faith. So part of the culture of Christ has to do with the willingness of our hearts. God wants his people to be willing to do what is needed. Now, needed for his work, needed in helping others, needed in knowing him better. And the thing about willingness is this: there are no boundaries. Well, I'm willing in most things. That doesn't sound very willing, does it? See, willingness doesn't have boundaries. And these men's willingness allowed them to believe, get this, that which had never been done before. It had never been done before. And so Jesus reveals five areas in our lives tonight that we're going to speak about where we need to be willing. First of all, we're going to need to be willing to follow. To follow God. Anybody can follow God when it's easy. When it gets tough, when it's hard, do you follow him? And we got to be willing to believe when what we're believing seems to be impossible. It often seems that many of our prayers are directed towards the impossible, aren't they? Yeah. And our willingness also needs to include reaching others through manifesting those healing abilities of God. We've got to show others what God can do in their lives because every one of us is broken. How many of y'all ever, when you think about heaven, you think, I can't wait to be fixed. I just can't wait to be fixed. Now, included in that willingness, we're going to see a part about humility. And since we are servants, you know, it's not about us, it's about him. And then there needs to be that willingness to tell everybody in the world about Jesus. So let's begin in verse number 27. And I want to begin with this culture that God has created where there has to be a willingness to follow Jesus. I'm not being funny when I say the next sentence. Following Christ is not easy when you're blind. I want you to think about that. He's walking down the road. Now, if you're blind, you're a beggar for life, aren't you? You are in dependence upon others. And not everybody was nice to the handicapped back then. Some believed it was due to their sin. And so they have heard the commotion at Jairus' house. Now, you know, I know that nobody was supposed to tell, but you all realize nothing was ever kept a secret, right? It was always. And so they begin following him, and maybe they're thinking in their mind, if he can raise the dead, he can give us our sight. And that's a natural conclusion to draw. But how do blind men follow God? Do you follow by the sound? By the help of others? Because it's not easy. And before salvation, we're all blind. Every one of us are blind. We don't follow God, and if we try, it's not possible without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. In Proverbs 4, verse number 19, it says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." And it's true. If you can't see what's in front of you, you will stumble and you don't even know why, correct? Sometimes in the light I stumble. Where did that root come from? Amen? But I want you, because of that, to see the determination of these men. There's great determination in what they're doing. What they're doing here is hard, and they were no longer content to live in darkness. They were going to do something. Now look, for you and me, following Christ in this dark world, that's not easy either, is it? It's not. And since the majority of this world does not know Christ, there's a lot of darkness around us. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 23, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" The darkness can consume lives, and it's hard, isn't it? Some of us probably lived in darkness. And we remember. And the darkness of sin is not mild, it's great, as Jesus uses the word. And great is not a good way, it's big. And it's not easy. It's not easy to go against the culture of this dark world and to follow Christ. It's something we have to purpose to do, don't we? Yeah. And even if the darkness is all around you, stay close to Jesus, because, as we know, He is our light. Matter of fact, John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So Jesus promises you and me, if we will do that hard task of following Him in the darkness, we'll have light. That's a great promise, isn't it? Bob agrees. John's shaking his head. Okay, we'll move on. Y'all are quiet tonight. Now, how many of y'all agree with this? Sometimes we kind of feel blind. Right? Or we're in darkness. That's Satan trying to trick with us, trying to confuse us. That's why we stay close to Christ, so we're close to His light, and His light will overcome the darkness. Now, I'm going to tell you a simple thought, but when we get a hold of it, it really makes a difference. Following Christ is easiest when we do it by faith. Following Christ is always easiest when we do it by faith. And we wonder sometimes, well, how am I going to do that? Because I don't have that kind of power, and my strength can't overcome the darkness of this world. Well, remember what 2 Corinthians 5:7 says. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We get so wrapped up in thinking, "I can do this. I can see. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing." Boy, those are scary words, aren't they? But if we will believe that God will help us, He does. And believe that He will guide us, and believe that He is with us. Then we can walk, even though we may be somewhat blind men, because we can follow His word, and we can follow His voice, and we can follow His spirit. So, look, I realize that there's a culture out here that lives in the darkness, but we don't have to. Now, the second thing that he has taught us here is our culture of willingness has to be willing to believe the impossible. Do you realize that before Jesus Christ came to earth, there is not a miracle in the Bible where somebody got healed of blindness? I was only able to find twice in the Bible where people were struck blind. Number one was Sodom and Gomorrah. Y'all remember that? And number two was in 2 Kings chapter number 6, when the Syrians were outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And God struck them with blindness. That's the only two times you can find anything about blindness and something going on with it before Jesus came. So Jesus did something that had never been done before. And what these two men came to the realization was, in Christ all things are possible. Mark 9:23, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." One of the blessings of the men's prayer meeting is we spend a lot of time praying on the impossible. And we've seen a lot of prayers answered. And it's not something, there are no human solutions in most of these things. There's only God's solution. And we commit it to Him because He is the solution. And look, I realize you may be waiting on God to provide you a solution, and you might be waiting on a miracle, but can I remind you that those miracles come after we follow Him? They had to begin following Him before the miracle occurred. So we have to act upon the impossible also by faith. Walking by faith in a dark world, but we got the light. So now, verse number 29, it says, "Then touched He their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you." Don't you wish every once in a while that you could touch somebody and heal them? Come on, there's some people that you would have healed, right? Come on, and there's nothing wrong with that desire. I understand it. Well, we do have to be willing to touch lives. Now, in Jesus' day, the religious leaders wouldn't have done anything here. Because if you notice, it says, then He touched their eyes. There's no way religious leaders were going to touch their eyes. Oh, I could become unclean. Ladies and gentlemen, time out. Moses' law, if you're unclean, you go wash. And you know how long you're unclean? Until the sun sets. This is not a long time, amen? Come on. To help somebody, whatever it may be. But I mean, they acted like it's, you know, life is over. But we do tend to work things over a little bit more than they should be sometimes, don't we? Yeah. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we're all defiled by sin. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Isaiah 64, verse 6. The healing that we have received is a healing that we get to give. It's spiritual. If you remember this morning, we talked about we receive the gift, but we can give the gift and keep it. Well, we get to touch this world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people get healed. They're healed of their sin debt. And we have to be willing. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." You see, the whole culture of Christ is that we go get involved in messes. We are the mess. Right? Think about the person that brought you to Christ. Think about the person that told you the gospel. Aren't you so glad that they were willing to stick their foot in your mess? It's just amazing. The people will do that willingly. Amen? And so here we are, and we are supposed to help. When it says, "and bindeth up their wounds," in Psalm 147, verse 3, that word "wounds" means grief, sorrow, worry. Boy, do we have a lot of that in this world. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. I realize that you and I, we don't have a physical healing touch. I understand that. You understand that. But sometimes God uses us to be the touch, so that we can pass on what's been given to us. And we get to minister love, kindness, goodness, mercy, helpfulness, all those different things. Now, so we are in a culture we are to be willing to be healers. We are in a culture where we need to be humble. Verse 30, "And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it." Now, It wasn't a show. I like the end. Verse 29 at the end of it, Jesus says, according to your faith be it unto you. This was a result of their faith. So the recipient has to be willing. The recipient has to be humble to desire the healing of God. And that's part of faith. That's how we came to faith. That's how they come to faith. But you want to know what's really amazing right here? I don't know whether these men had sight before or not, okay? Doesn't tell us, does it? They might have been blind from birth, they might not, we don't know. But I do know this, the first thing that they got to see when their eyes were open was the Savior. Oh, it just makes you think, doesn't it? One day this life is going to be over, and before you know it, you're going to be in the presence of God, and the first thing you're going to see is your Savior. Won't that be wonderful? Oh, the blindness will be cured then, amen? They saw salvation. That's what they got to see. And the Savior looks at him and he says, see that no man know it. Jesus not only taught humility, he modeled it. I mean, Jesus wasn't one of these big showboat guys that, let's get in bigger crowds and everybody can see me. That's not what he was about. It was about doing the work of God. And I realize it's not us that changes them. So we don't get high and mighty and think we've done something special. We are, ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? I hope that you'll get this. If we are anything, we're a pipe. We're a conduit. And what we carry is the blessing and the goodness of God. And if we get to be used as something that brings God to another person, it doesn't make that conduit special. It just means that that conduit did what it was supposed to do. Amen? But that in itself, that's a great blessing. To be used to God is not a light thing. That is a wonderful thing that God would ever use me or use you. So he modeled how we were to behave in light of this power so that you and I don't get the big heads. Start thinking, oh, look what I've done. Nah. Because it's not about self-recognition. It's not, look what I've done, because that makes the situation about us, and sometimes that forgets the person that needed God. We want to keep the focus on what's right. So in the culture of Christ, it always goes like this. God first, others, and then somewhere after that, us. We may not even make third sometimes, amen? But that's okay. That's okay. So the next one comes out of verse number 31. The culture in which we are willing to tell everybody. But when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Look, I don't know why Christ said don't tell them, because he knew what they were going to do. He knew that they were going to go about and tell everybody what was going on. Everybody who got saved, everybody who got healed, did that same exact thing. Isn't that amazing? They couldn't shut their mouth. So I have a question. If that was you, what would you do? Would you just go home and pretend nothing happened? Because part of your life, or all of your life, you've been walking in darkness. Now you have sight. You can walk home without help, if you know where your home is. You can hold a job. You can see your children. You can go other places now without help. I mean, has this changed your life dramatically? Absolutely it has. So what you would do, what I would do, is I'd go tell everybody. I was blind, but now I see. But the question is, what would we tell? Because there's two stories to give. I was blind, but now I see. Or the other story. I met him. Him who? And then you got him. I love people that use the situation for being a good witness. And I love it when you're in an elevator and you look at somebody and you say, you going up or down? And there's all sorts of ways we can take what's going on with the situation and use it. Be aware, because our story is about a Savior, the God who came to earth. Our story is about Jesus who changes lives. Does he heal? Yes, he can. But the real story is that these men believed and were able to say, "Yea, Lord, we believe." They believed something that was really important, and we didn't talk about it, but look back at verse number 27. You got to remember, there was a hierarchy in Israel. And at the high spot was the son of Aaron, the descendant of Aaron. He was the high priest. But notice what they say. They were following him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." They were crying out for the son of David. Do you know why? Because they knew that the messianic line was through David and not through Aaron. Do you understand that they believed that this could be the Messiah? And they were excited about that. They knew he was the one. And their willingness is motivated by the power of God. They were trusting God. And they said, "God, have mercy on us." A lot of times when we're studying God's word, we study on the charis of God, the grace of God. Don't y'all like grace? Grace is good, amen? Grace is you get what you didn't deserve, and it's good. I like that. But this is the eleo of God, the mercy of God. And mercy is this: it's pity and compassion that acts. It's the equivalent of the Old Testament hesed. Now, we've studied hesed many times here, right? Hesed means God's covenant faithfulness. And you will see that hesed in the Old Testament many times is translated mercy. Think about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. I think the Good Samaritan had mercy on the man that had been beaten and robbed. Amen? We too should be seeking that mercy. Pity and compassion coupled with action. Do you realize that God wants to show you pity and compassion? I know, we're probably not the typical Baptist church, which is mean and hateful and God is angry, but that's not our God. Let's just go with what the Bible says, amen? He's a God of mercy, and we ought to be seeking that mercy. These men sought a cure to their earthly condition, and God healed their souls. We all have wounds, problems, worries, stresses. Don't you think we ought to be seeking that mercy of God? When He opens our eyes from the blindness that we're currently in, maybe the first thing we'll see is Him too. Not only do we seek His mercy, we show His mercy. And I don't know about, how many of y'all have a hard time being merciful? I have a hard time being merciful. And I'm thinking at some point I'm going to have to give up my driver's license. On the road, I just do not. Sometimes I'm worried about my salvation when I'm driving, okay? Because some people that are out here driving, I think they remove their brain. And these new, how many of y'all have seen these new bumper stickers, student driver, and there's an 80-year-old driving the car? Okay, I'm not going off on that. I'm just not gonna. What we've seen in our passage tonight is this. In the kingdom of God, willingness is a big deal. It's a culture where we need to be willing to let God work in us, and we need to be willing to allow God to use us to serve others. Consider your willingness. Because it's really easy to say, I'm willing, until it starts taking up our time or our effort or our money. And sometimes we say, well, I got to draw the line there. I'm no longer willing. But is that what God wanted? That's the question. It's not about what you want, what I want. God wants us to have a willingness that doesn't have those limits. He wants us to have a willingness that's based upon faith, a faith that will follow, a faith that believes, a faith that gives, a faith that is humble, a faith that points others to Jesus. And we are to be part of this culture, if we could call it, a culture of willingness. And I pray that this week you'll think about those places where God's asking you to be willing to do whatever it is that He leads you to do. Sometimes that's not easy. Amen? Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for this interaction with just a couple of men that needed much more than to have their eyes healed. They needed their souls and their spirits healed. They needed their lives healed. And we thank You that You are willing to do so for us. Now, as we have a time of invitation, God, would You please use this time to speak to us about those areas in our lives where You want us to be willing. We pray this and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.